Father, bless us right now as we study, contemplate, Lord, your word, what it says to us, what it means for us, the challenge, Lord, that it gives. And God, today as we continue this journey about getting close, staying close to you, Father, just teach us another nugget. Teach us another truth. Teach us something else, Lord, that'll just add to what we've talked about the last few weeks that will help us, Lord, make this such a priority to get close and to stay close to you. Father, may it be so in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, we've been talking about this idea of getting close, staying close to God, and here's my impression as we think about this morning. You're not close to God just because you're here. Right? I mean, being in this room this morning is not the definition of being close to God. A matter of fact, you can be here this morning and be as far away from God as the most awful person that you can think of that's on the outside of these doors. Because you know what? When I look at you here this morning, I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's on your mind. I don't know too very many things about your life, and you don't know the very, very, very many things about mine as well. Someone once said, you know what? If I knew everything that there is to know about you, would I like you? Or if I knew everything there is to know about you, would I want to be around you? And the sad thing is probably not. And the same is true for you with me. But here we're on this journey. We're in this struggle to understand and appreciate grace and to live a life of grace as others. But here's the thing, folks. We don't know each other's story. You know, you ever wonder about that? What is your story? I mean, who are you, and what are the events of your life that bring you up to this point? Because if we knew each other's story, we would have a better understanding and a little more empathy, I think, for each other. But here's the thing, folks. Not only do I not know your story, in a lot of ways, I don't even understand my story. Because I've never processed it, I've never gone through it, I've never thought about it and how it relates to my faith in God and how close I am to Him, or how much of a desire I have to stay close to Him. Some years ago, our oldest daughter Sarah had an automobile accident here in town. She was rear-ended on Chestnut Avenue. She calls me and she's upset. She's a teenager. She's upset and she's, Dad, I had an accident. You know, this person hit me, and she said, he's mad at me. You know, right away, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. You know, it's not that bad of an accident. But I said, you just stay right there, honey. Daddy is on the way, right? So I jump in the car and I go down there, and imagine my shock when I get out of the car and I see this guy kind of chewing on my daughter's ear. And I recognize him. And when he turns around and sees me, he says, Pastor John, is this your daughter? I said, it sure is. And all of a sudden, as we began to talk about this story and what happened, I felt so bad for her, of what she was going through. And then I was a little bit upset at him because of, you know, everything that had transpired, until he said this. I'm on my way home from the hospital. My wife just died. You see, when you know somebody's story, it kind of changes your perspective, doesn't it? I mean, when you realize what's going on in somebody's life that's brought them to this particular moment, then this particular moment becomes that much more potent, that much more powerful in defining not only today, but describing your hope for tomorrow and the faith that you are going to live with. Here's the thing, folks. As you look around this room this morning, you don't know each other's story. And here's the other thing. I want to encourage you not just to appreciate each person and where they come from, but to try to seek to understand your own story. You see, I think understanding your story is going to help us today in building on this idea of getting close and staying close to God. Here, let me show you the passage of Scripture. It comes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. It's the story of Moses. I've actually chosen the message. Kristen, grab my water back there. Where did she go? There she is. Please, thank you. My lovely daughter, Kristen, would you welcome her to the stage? Okay. She'll kill me at lunch, but that's all right. All right. She's not like her mother, you know, in that way anyway. She's like her mother in a lot of other ways. Anyway, where was I? The message, okay? Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. I love this passage because it talks about what somebody's story means to what they're experiencing now and how it defines what God wants them to do in the future. Look at what he says here. He says, the angel of God appeared to him, Moses, in flames of fire, blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, what's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up? God saw that he had stopped to look. God called to him from out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, yes, I am right here. God said, don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground. Notice the middle part of this verse. It says, God saw that he had stopped to look. You see, that's some of you here today. God's gotten your attention some way, and you've stopped to look. You've stopped to listen. But as you think about Moses and how God was getting his attention in this burning bush, I think it's really good to kind of appreciate and to understand Moses' story. Do you know his story? If you back up one chapter to chapter 2, that entire chapter tells us kind of in a synopsis form Moses' life story. It begins by talking about this man and this woman from the tribe of Levi. They got married. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son. But this wasn't just an ordinary birth. It was a birth during a difficult time. Hebrew children, boys, were being sacrificed. And here Moses' mother had him, and if you read the story, it said that she hid him for as long as she could. She hid him for 3 straight months. Can you imagine hiding a 3-month-old baby? How difficult that is, trying to quieten their cries, stifle the sounds that a small baby has got to make. But here's verse 3. But when she could do it no longer, she got a basket made of papyrus, waterproofed it, tar and pitch, put the baby in the basket, and put him in the Nile River. And then said to his sister, you stand at a distance, and you watch to see what happens to him. Now, you know the rest of the story. Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe in the river, and she saw the basket among the reeds. She had it brought to her. She opened it. She saw the baby boy, and she saw that he was crying, and it said that she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children. So then she took him home to be her son. Now, the interesting thing is that Moses' mother ends up being the attendant for this child. He grows up. He's a prince. One day he encounters an Egyptian man being harsh to a Hebrew slave, and out of anger, Moses struck the man and killed him and hid his body. And then it says this, verse 13, the next day when Moses went out to visit his people, he saw 2 Hebrew men fighting, and they were beating. Why are you beating up your friend? Moses said to the one. And the man replied, who appointed you to be the prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you did that Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses was afraid, and he ran. And you know the story. He ends up He ends up on the other side of the mountain caring for sheep that belong to his father-in-law, and he's all alone. And that's when this encounter with the burning bush happens. And I want to think about this and talk about this for a few minutes, because I think it goes to illustrate, to ask this question: what brings you here? What brings me here? What is it about this place that causes us to stop and to seek a relationship with God? Let me just tell you a distinction that I think we have in our culture today that most of us, and all of us that were like, if you're my age or older, it was different then. I remember as a young person, I remember that there was going to come a day when I got things settled with God. Did you feel that way? I mean, I thought, and I think most people thought, you know, you believed in God, you know, your ancestors trusted God, and you were going to trust God. Even if you were sowing your wild oats now, you knew that there would come a time after college, when you got married, when you had children, when you were going to come back to that moment of faith, and that you were going to stay close to God for the rest of your life. I always remember that. I remember as a young person thinking, you know, I'm gonna make things right with God someday. But you know what? That's not the case today. Because for today's young people, It's not about when they make their peace with God. It's if they ever do. Because they look at the world totally different. When I was a kid, somebody would say to me, you know what, don't you want to go to heaven? Sure, I want to go to heaven. Today you say to somebody, don't you want to go to heaven? They're like, what's heaven? Or when I was a kid, you know, somebody'd say, listen, don't you want to avoid hell? I mean, are you with me? Don't you remember those days? I didn't want to go to hell. And you say to somebody today, some young person, some millennial, and you say, you know what? You don't want to go to hell. What's hell? I mean, if hell is real, you know, they don't have the same mindset. They don't look at the world the same way today. Therefore, it's not about when, it's if. So a lot of times when we come together, when we're here, when we're thinking about getting close to God, we have to evaluate, why are you here? Now I think that question is answered really good in the life of Moses. When he sees the burning bush, when he notices this peculiar thing happening, and when you just think about what caused him, as the passage I showed you a minute ago, when it says that he stopped to take a look. One thing, I think he was curious. Are you curious? Sometimes that's the very thing that brings us to a place where we will consider God. Is just that we are absolutely curious. I remember as a young person, I was raised on Kentucky Street in Pennington Gap, Virginia. I think if you kind of went on that road for a long time, you'd end up in Kentucky. But in my little town, I lived on Kentucky Street. Well, the street right behind me was North Main Street. And in between Kentucky Street and North Main Street, there was this Pentecostal Church of God. Okay? Right there, within like 100 feet of my backyard. And I remember as a kid, I remember as an 8-year-old kid, as a 9-year-old kid, as a 10-year-old kid, I guess it was just kind of a boring existence, because me and my friend Tim, when we were kind of bored, we would kind of sneak up there and just watch these people through the windows. Because they would do some strange things. You know, I was used to sitting in church and, you know, and sitting real quiet. And if I moved anything at all, my mother would slap me on the back of the head and tell me to be still. These people weren't still, ever. And it used to be such a curious thing to me that I would just look through the windows. And I would wonder about these folks' closeness to God. And how they seemed to have something that other people didn't have. And you see, there's people like that today. They're going through tough things in life. The answers that they have pursued have led nowhere. They wonder about life, about where it's going, when it's going to end. And then they wonder about somebody else that seems to have a different view, and because of their Christianity, because of their relationship with the Lord, that they have something that they wish they had. And sometimes it's that curiosity that brings people into the room for them to consider God. That was actually what caused Moses to walk over to that bush. If you look, the other version says, you know, he was amazed. What is this thing? One version says, you know what? I'm going to stop and go over there and check this thing out. He was curious. But see, here's the thing, folks. Notice this, because Moses' curiosity led to concern about two things. I think one, Moses was concerned about himself. He had run away. He had some unfinished business in his past. He had done something that was terribly wrong. And he had hid. And he had a lot of baggage that he was carrying around on that far side of the mountain. And as he sat around the table each evening with his father-in-law Jethro, by the way, did you notice if you go read the story about Moses, it says that Jethro's daughter Zipporah and her sisters were out getting water, and Moses helped them get water, helped them water their livestock, and then they went home and said, "Daddy, we met this man, and he was so nice. He helped us with the water. He helped us water our livestock." And Zipporah, Moses' father-in-law, said, "Go get that boy and bring him home. I think he's like, I got seven daughters that I need to get rid of. If this is the kind of guy you met, bring him home. Sit him around our table." That's how Moses got introduced to this family. But he had a past. And you know what? Maybe nobody around that table knew about his past. And nobody here this morning, we don't know everybody else's story. But what caused Moses to be curious led into a concern about himself and a concern about other people. God convinced him that the immediate plight of his people in Egypt needed him. So Moses' curiosity became concern, and his concern became a calling. You see, folks, I'm convinced that when we come close to God and when we stay close to God, God is going to do something so unbelievable in our lives that we can't even imagine. Moses never went to the far side of that mountain to take care of these sheep in order for it to lead him back to Egypt and to take God's people to the promised land. But you see, folks, when you have a curiosity about God, when God convinces you to be concerned about yourself and about others, God will lead you down a path that you have no idea where it's going. Now, think about this calling, because it didn't come easy. If you read the story closely, you'll see a couple of things happen in Moses when God is telling him what he wants him to do. Number one is that Moses responded with fear. He said, "Who am I? I can't do this. I can't talk. Surely there's somebody else." Moses was scared to death to step out of his comfort zone and allow this closeness to God to lead to something great. And you know what? I think a lot of us are exactly there. We never get to the calling because we never allow God to convince us of the concern that we should have, both for others and for ourselves. You see, that's one of the most beautiful things about Christianity, is because we think about others before ourselves. You know, think of others before yourselves. You know, the last will be first, the first will be last. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Think about that. He says, "I want you to treat other people the way that you hope people treat you." You see, we need to have this concern for other people. But Moses responded with fear. The second thing he did was that he responded with a protest. Did you notice that? He actually says the word protest. That Moses protested what God was asking him, him to do. Specifically, he says that if I go down there, they're going to ask me who sent me. How do I answer that question? God helps him with that one. And God encouraged him to overcome his fear and his protesting because of two things. Number one, that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk for you. I'm going to be with you. And I'm not just going to be with you when you go down there, but then when you leave Egypt, I'm going to be with you then, and I'm going to always be with you. Have you ever thought about that the Exodus experience is all about closeness with God? Think about that. It was all about closeness with God when they were slaves, because God said, I heard your prayers, and with my strong arm, I lead my people out of bondage. It was about closeness with God in the wilderness journeys, that even though they were facing tremendous obstacles with the Red Sea in front, the armies of Egypt behind them, God is with them. They had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. God was always with them. As they stood on the mountain overlooking the promised land, God described what they were looking at to them. The Exodus journey was all about closeness with God. But here's the thing, folks. Closeness with God isn't about where you are. It's about having God in your life, in your heart, in your spirit. That's why I say you can be here this morning and you can be so very far away from God. You see, I think what God was doing in the life of Moses is that he was rekindling concern. Because when Moses killed that Egyptian, he did so because he had concern for his fellow man. And now God was asking him to go back and to lead his people. Matter of fact, here, look at this verse, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. After all of the curiosity, after all of the concern, after all of the laying out the calling, you know, after the fear and after the protest, after God had dealt with all of that in the life of Moses, then he said this, go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. You know, how do you go from murdering someone to tending sheep in anonymity so no one would know, to walking into the courtyard of Pharaoh and declaring the presence and the power of God? The only way is by getting close and staying close to God. You know, I think that we encounter burning bushes all the time. I just think that we're not curious enough to stop and wonder what God is doing in this thing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is so apparent that you were able to use people like Moses, because they didn't stop at curiosity, Lord, but they came into your holy presence and changed, and allowed you to change them. So God, this morning we stand at the burning bush just as he did. Some of us, Lord, are here just because we're curious. God, help us not to walk away after just being curious. But God, may your spirit convince our spirit of the concern that we need to have for ourselves and for others. And then, Lord, by taking off our shoes, our sandals, and understanding that we are on holy ground, Lord, may we be changed. Father, may we be challenged to have a calling in life. A calling, Lord, that, like Moses, is all about closeness and sharing that closeness with others. Lord, I pray that the people in this room, believers, that, Lord, we will have such a close walk with you that our neighbors and our friends, Lord, will be moved by that. And that even though we don't know their story, I pray, Lord, that they'll see how your presence helps us with our own story. That, Lord, they'll want that for themselves. I pray, Lord, that all of us might leave here today with a clear calling of what you're wanting us to do, and with a commitment, Lord, to do just that. But Father, help us to know that it's all in the process. Moses never made it to the promised land, but it was all about the process of him helping your people to be close to you day by day as we wander in the wilderness. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us to rely on that and to live that way, Lord. May our families benefit. May our friends benefit. May the world know that you are God and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.